Amen. Well, this morning, we've just been those few testimonies and words of encouragement. You've already had preached the message for this morning. You know, I was waiting upon God yesterday. You know, as you know, and those that have been here over the last few weeks, I've just been going through a series of teaching on what we're calling the covenant of peace. And so far we've already seen that God's covenant of peace is a blood covenant. We looked at that on Resurrection Day. It's a blood covenant. You know, Jesus died so that we could have peace. It's a covenant that was cut in blood, the blood of Jesus. And it's a covenant that cannot be broken or annulled. You know, we said a few weeks ago that unfortunately we don't, we can make covenants today. We can sign up to treaties and things. But a lot of these companies, and if you read the small print on the companies, the covenants and things that they make with you, or the contracts is what we call them today, or treaties, you'll find there's always a clause in the contract so that they can get out of it. If you do this, or you know, or if something happens, they can get out of it because of, yeah, that's what the insurance companies rely on, you know, and their contract that they make with you, that they won't be held responsible, they can get out of the contract that's been made. But the covenant of God cannot be broken. There's no get out clause, there's no annulment to it. And we saw that the Bible calls it an everlasting covenant. Now what we're going to do this morning, and as I was waiting upon God yesterday, because I'd intended to go through over the next few weeks and just look at what the word shalom, because that's the word peace in the Old Testament, what that word really encompasses, and you know, how we can fit that into the covenant that God has made with us. Now, the word shalom in the Hebrew has a number of various different meanings. But the main context of it is that of completeness, or that of wholeness. You know, it means that really there's nothing lacking or nothing missing. And that's the main context of, but it has a lot of varied meanings, and I've just run through some of them this morning. It means, it encompasses forgiveness. It encompasses man's total welfare and well-being, like his health, his prosperity, his contentment. It encompasses relationships and friendships, particularly where God's concerned, our relationship with God, our covenant relationship with him. Yes, it means to be free of strife or free of war, and to be at rest. Another, which we've already touched on this morning, another meaning of the word shalom is that we have protection and safety. And I was waiting upon God yesterday just to find out where, so what I want to do is over the next few weeks is just go through some of these one by one and just see where they fit in. Now, but what, God, what do you want me to speak, or where do you want me to start? That's my prayer yesterday. And I just felt before the Lord that this morning we should look that shalom is a covenant of protection. And you'll see why now that fits in with the testimonies we've had. Because God has given us a covenant to protect us, to keep us safe. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And see where the covenant of peace, how it ensures our safety and our protection. Now in, I think it was on Resurrection Day, we looked at, talk about the blood covenant. And we said that a nation, particularly a weak nation, very often struck a covenant with a stronger nation. It was if the nation was so weak that it was in fear of being attacked, or fear of others coming in and sort of seizing all the houses and the property and all the people there. We sort of see that happening quite a few times in the scriptures. So they go to a nation that was nearby, that was a little bit stronger, and they made an agreement and come into covenant with them so that the stronger nation would protect the weaker nation. So if any enemy came across and tried to attack, they could call on their covenant partners in the stronger and say, look, come down and help us because we're being attacked, and they bring their armies down. We see it very often in war, you know, that we have the allies in a war. You know, they come to make each side stronger, join together, join forces and become strong. And you get a lot of weak nations joining together, they become a very strong group. And that's the purpose of covenant. Now we're going to turn this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Joshua. How God raises this man up, and he raises him up to take over from Moses. After Moses dies, Joshua becomes leader of God's people. And Joshua is charged by God to take his people into the promised land. And in the early chapters of Joshua, you see them preparing for their crossing the River Jordan to get into the promised land. Now the first thing that happens as they cross the Jordan River is they come to a place called Jericho. And we're not going to look at these this morning, but God gives them a great victory in Jericho. Then they come to a much smaller town, not nowhere near the size of Jericho. I'm not quite sure how you would say it, but it's spelled A and A-I. Some people say it's A-I. Some people say it's I-E. I'm not quite sure the exact pronunciation, but it's a littler town. It's a smaller city than Jericho. But there's a problem at this place, because of sin in the camp. That's what God says, there's sin in the camp. You know, one man was disobedient at Jericho, and he waited and he took some stuff which God had said not to touch, and he hid it in his head, he thought no one would notice, but God knew. And even though we might think no one else knows, we might better keep things secret from everybody else, let me tell you, God knows. You know, and he won't honor sin. And they were expecting, because this was a smaller, they were expecting this to be just a breeze, to go in, march in, take the city, and leave. But that didn't happen. At this place, i.e., they were defeated. And once Joshua began to find out, he found out what the problem was. God told him there was sin in the camp. He found out what had happened, and he dealt with it. And then they launched an attack on the city again, and this time God gave them the victory. Now, in chapter 9, you know, Joshua had begun, we read in verse 2, that Joshua had begun to conquer the land. And here it says in verse, well, let's read verse 1 first. It says, now the Lord said to Joshua, chapter 9, it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in their hills and in the lowland, and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. Now, everybody, all the nations around, heard of what was happening in Canaan. As Joshua had been marching through, he conquered Jericho, he conquered Ai, and this news was spreading around. And the nations that were surrounding them were so fearful of what might happen to them, that they joined together and said, well, come on, let's go down and let's attack Joshua and his army, and let's put an end to this advancing army that's coming through the land. Let's battle, let's go out and fight, and we will win. So they joined together all these nations, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. They came together against Joshua. But there were certain men, you read that in verse 3, a certain place, the place of Gibeon. They said, well, we know what we know. These were the nearest neighbors. And they said, what it says in Scripture. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily, it says in verse 4. These were cunning men. They got a little bit, okay, they were, well, let's pretend to come from afar, let's go down to, let's ask for a peace covenant with it. You know, because obviously we don't want them coming in and taking over our land, so we'll go down there, we'll make a covenant with them, then we'll come under their protection. Obviously they won't attack us. And that's actually what they did. And we haven't really got time this morning to go through and read the whole of the chapter. But right up through there now till verse 14, you saw this, you see this event unfold. You know, the men of Gibeon, they can't. Let's read the first few verses. It says, verse 4, they worked craftily and went to pretend to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended. Put these on, I can read a bit clearer. First of all, so they worked quietly, they went to pretend to be ambassadors, they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old thatched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they came to Joshua, to the camp of Gilgal, and said to him and the men of Israel, we've come from a very far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us. So they see they've come, they've pretended, they've got all their old clothes on, they've put all their they've got in their provision packs, they put stale or moldy bread, and they've baked it out now to Joshua. They've come such a far journey that, and it goes on in that chapter, it says, look, when we left home our bread was fresh, our clothes weren't worn. And they said, we want to come and make a covenant with you. That's what they were doing. They were lying to Joshua. And the problem with Joshua here, now he's a good man, but he doesn't ask God. And he agrees to this covenant. Now this is what we're looking at. We're looking at covenant. A covenant of safety and protection. Now these men of Gibeon, they acted craftily, they pretended, and they came and made peace with Joshua. It says that in verse 15. It says, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. What Joshua did here was he agreed terms of protection for the Gibeonites. Under the terms of his covenant with them, it was that they would not suffer attack. They would not be taken over. Yeah, if somebody came against them, that they would join forces with Joshua and have his protection upon them. And what we actually read, as you read on, says the children of Israel didn't go in and attack Gibeon. Now God had told them to go in and dispel all the nations, but they made this covenant with the Gibeonites. And they didn't attack them, they didn't dispel them from that because of covenant that they had with them. Now what happens in the next chapter, in chapter 10, is that the king of Jerusalem, he decides, we're going to go down and attack Gibeon because they joined forces with Joshua. They didn't join our side when we wanted to go and attack, but they went to Joshua. And he said, "Look, we're going down, we're teaching them a lesson." This is my paraphrase of the scriptures. He said, "We're going down, we're teaching them a lesson. You know, we're showing them that what they did was wrong. We'll go down and we'll attack them." And they launched an attack on Gibeon. Well, the Gibeonites were in covenant with Joshua. So what they did is they did what, under the terms of the covenant, they were allowed to do. They called for Joshua to come down and help. And we see in chapter 10, from verse 7, I'll read it from verse 7, that Joshua did in accordance with the covenant he made. It says that Joshua sent from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came therefore upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal, and the Lord rooted them there before Israel, killed them with the great sword that he did, chased them along the road that goes to Beth-horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel, and they were descent of Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died with the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Because of covenant, the Gibeonites, they won a great victory that day, because they'd entered into covenant with Joshua. You know, and that's, you see that quite a few times in the scriptures. You know, the weaker nation makes covenant with a stronger nation. There's another scripture we can turn to this morning in the book of Judges, chapter 18. In Judges 18, we read about some men from a place called Dan. There was the tribe of Dan. Some of the tribe of Dan. They hadn't received their allotted inheritance that Joshua had intended to divide the land down. They've not yet received it. And in chapter 18 here of Judges, they're looking for a place to settle and a place to dwell. And it says in the scriptures that five of these men from Dan went into Micah's house. And they took some of his possessions. They took his idol. He had a little idol that he worshipped. They took that. And Micah had a priest that ministered for him to this false idol, and they said, "Well, why don't you come and be priest in a nation rather than just in man's house? You know, you could have the whole nation to minister to, the whole tribe. You know, why stay with just one family when there's the whole tribe?" And they took this priest away, and they asked him to inquire about their journey. And in verse 6, it says this: "The priest said to them, 'Go in peace.'" Now, remember, we're looking at the covenant of peace. He says, "Go in peace. Go in shalom. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." You know, go in peace. God's presence will be with you. Now, I want to just look at some different translations this morning. You know, that's the New King James translation that I've been reading from. But in the today's English version of that verse, it says this: "The Lord is taking care of you on this trip." The Lord will take, or is taking care of you on this trip. Another one, another translation, the Amplified, says this: "The way in which you go is under the eye of the Lord." God is watching over you. You know, go in shalom. Go in peace. God is watching over you. You know, there's a covenant of protection. A covenant of safety. And then it's just to round this one up. At the end of the chapter, verses 27, It says, so that they took the things Micah had made, and the priest who belonged to him, and went down to Laish, to a quiet people, and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword, and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth-Rehob, so they rebuilt the city as well there. These five men took the goods, they took the priests. Now he promised them protection. He wasn't an honorable priest, he was a false priest, but he said, the Lord is with you. You know, the eye of God will be upon you. He will take care of you on the trip. And they went down to this place called Laish, and it says in the scriptures in verse 28 that the people of Laish had no ties with anyone. They weren't in covenant with anybody, and therefore they could not call upon anybody when the Danites went and attacked them. And the Danites won because there was no deliverer. There was no protector for them. They weren't under a covenant of protection. You know, it's important. We've got a covenant of peace. God has given us a covenant of peace. And it is a covenant of protection. I must move on because we're running out of time. But it's Job had a similar encounter in the book of Job. He's got these three friends. They're not very friendly towards him. They don't give him very good advice. And if you've got friends, you want, at least want some sound advice from them. But he's, you know, the story of Job, how he's troubled and Satan attacks him and takes everything from him. He loses all his family, he loses his home, he loses his wealth, he loses his flocks, he loses everything he's got. And he takes consolation from these three friends. Now, at the beginning, his three friends are okay. You know, they're giving him some quite good advice. And here in Job chapter 5, we see some sound advice. They say, well, you've got to turn to God. Look to the Lord. That's what they're telling him. That's what they're encouraging him. Look to the Lord. And Eliphaz, one of his friends, he says this to him. This is in verse 23. Job 5:23. He says, you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. Your tent is in peace. Your home will be secure, and your sheep safe. The contemporary English version says, your home will be secure, and your sheep will be safe. One of the translations in really modern English puts it like this. It says, you can be certain that your tent is at peace. And after looking over your property, you'll see nothing is gone. Because he's in a covenant. He says, look, he says, you've got a covenant. You have a covenant. And your tent is in peace. It's a covenant of peace, a covenant of protection. Now as we wrap up this morning, and we'll see that David, the psalmist, he also recalls on quite a few occasions God's covenant of peace. He recalls how God has protected him. And I'll quickly just run through three scriptures with you. In Psalm 4, he says this. He says, when I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. Or I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, Lord, keep me perfectly safe. I like this one here. This is God's Word, a translation called God's Word. And it says, I fall asleep in peace the moment I lie down. Because you alone, O Lord, enable me to live securely. You enable me to live securely. We have a covenant of protection. God enables, he keeps us safe. He keeps us secure. And he does it through peace. Shalom. In Psalm 55, David says of God, he says, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle. Again, another translation says this, says, he's taken my soul away from the attack which was made against me and given it peace. You know, we have peace. It's a covenant of peace, a covenant of protection. Now, it's already been touched on. Well, twice this morning we've had mention to Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 is a prayer of protection. It is a covenant of protection. In Psalm 91, it tells how God protects and keeps those who are in covenant. What covenant? They come under the shelter of God. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty is safety and security. You know, the picture there is of a bird bringing her chicks under her wing. The shadow. It's a covering. It's a protection. It's a shelter under which we can find safety and security. Actually, David uses that same term in Psalm 17. He says, look, he says, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Bring me, he said, what his prayer is, bring me into your protective care. You know, there's protection for us through the covenant of peace. It's a covenant of protection. You know, what does David say in that psalm? He says, look, he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my rock. Or my refuge, sorry. My fortress. God is my refuge. God is my fortress. Other psalms say that he's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. You know, we can run to him and be safe. We can run to him and find safety. We can run to him and find protection. You know, when the troubles are piling up, we can run to that secret place of the Most High God. We can run under the shadow of his wings. You know, we've got some baby blackbirds in the garden, and we've been watching them over the last few weeks. You know, the male blackbird tends to do a lot of the feeding, and he leaves. I feel sorry for this little blackbird, this baby blackbird, because he leaves the blackbird or this baby without any protection. You know, all the rain we've been having over the last few days. You know, this little baby sat on the wall. You know, just imagine, we've often said in the house, you know, he's told the baby to stay there and don't move. And he goes off and gets some food and comes back and feeds it. But it just sits there with no protection. It's not even sheltered by a tree. It just sits up. But in the nest, there's protection. You know, the mother puts ruffles out of her feathers and the babies slide underneath and find protection. You know, we can do the same. You know, we can slide under his wings and find protection when we need it. When our enemies come against us, there's no better place to run than to our refuge. Run to that place of security. Run to that place of safety where there's protection. He's our rock. He's our fortress. And that's what the covenant of peace affords to us today. Protection. Let me just finish with one more verse in the New Testament. Now the Greek word for peace, though, the Greek counterpart of shalom, is a word called irene. Yes? Yes. Now in the New Testament, particularly in the New Testament, more of peace in our relationships, particularly where God's concerned.
But it does also mean some of the other things, and we do find protection there. Now, Philippians 4, verse 7, you'll know this scripture very well. Because in Philippians 4, verse 7, Paul's encouraging the church. He says, look, he says, when things are going to get on top, when you've got problems piling up, when things are going not quite the way you want, he starts off, he says, do not be anxious for anything. He says, don't be anxious. He says, but let your requests be made known unto God. You know, bring it to God. He's doing what Job's friends told him. He says, look, throw it unto God. When you need protection, throw it unto God. You know, when you need to be, you need something only, throw it unto God. He says, don't be anxious over it. Don't worry over it. Don't fret about it. Don't be all concerned. He says, just throw it unto God. What does the scripture promise in verse 7? It says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Peace guards our hearts. You know what that word guard there means? It means to set a garrison against. In other words, to set soldiers to guard it. You know, the peace of God, like a soldier, like a sentry, it will stand and guard us and protect us. Not only our heart, but our minds as well. You know, that's what peace is. You know, the covenant of peace is a covenant of protection. And we'll have to leave it there because I shall get myself into trouble because we run on. But we have a covenant of protection. The covenant of peace. Shalom. Now, there's a lot more in shalom. Shalom is... As we develop in the teaching, I'm hoping once we finish all the series of teaching, we'll put it on the CD so you'll be able to, if you've missed any, so those that perhaps you're not here every week, you can get a hold of a copy of the set of CDs and go through the whole series. But shalom covers so much our whole well-being, and God's covenant in peace to us, a covenant of peace. Yes, a covenant of protection. And God cannot break that covenant. Yes, so when he says he will protect us, he means what he says. He won't break it. He won't go back on his word. When he says that he will meet our needs, he will meet what he says. And he won't go back on that. When he says he'll forgive us our sins, he means what he says. You know, we can take God in us because he's made a covenant. And it's a covenant that cannot be broken. So we'll leave it there, and just a little appetizer for what's to come. You know, so if you want the CDs, well, they won't be available for a few weeks because I haven't finished teaching it yet, but you know, they will be available at some stage. So let's pray, shall we, this morning, and give thanks to God for his protection upon us. Father, we just praise you this morning. Lord, for this Lord, covenant, Lord, you made it with us. Lord, you said, Lord, that the covenant of peace would not be removed from us. Lord, it's an everlasting covenant. Lord, we see for a part of that. Shalom. Lord, it encompasses our protection. Lord, it encompasses our safety. Father, Lord, you have covenanted, Lord, to protect and keep us. And Lord, this morning, Lord, we just lay claim, Lord, to that promise of protection. Father, we thank you, Lord, that, yes, Lord, we can slide, Lord, under the wings of your protection. Father, Lord, we can take refuge, Lord, in you. Lord, we can run to you, Lord, and find shelter. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimony this morning that we heard. Lord, where you have done just that, Father. Lord, kept your hand upon us. Lord, kept your hand of protection, Lord, there. Lord, that you've guarded, Lord, not only us, but, Lord, those that we've had an encounter with. Father, we just thank you for your promise. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant. Lord, we just give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.